This is J.J. Meadow from BlindBargains.com. The following is a press conference regarding the new KNFB Reader Mobile. It was held Monday, January 28, 2008, at the Holiday Inn Capitol in Washington, D.C. Enjoy.
Have your attention, please. Welcome and thank you all for coming. We have probably, I don't know, how many of you are there? 300. One day we'll make a device that will point out and count you. I am James Gashel, and I am Vice President of Business Development for KNFB Reading Technology. KNFB Reading Technology is a combination of K, that is Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil is the CEO and President of KNFB Reading Technology, and Ray is here. And
David Evans here.
The excitement is good. And NFB. The NFB is not me. The NFB is all of us. But the NFB here this morning is Dr. Mark Maurer, the president of the NFB. We formed this company to work on fabulous new technology for blind people, and I think we're keeping that commitment. We're devoted to improving and developing new ways of getting print information to be more accessible and available to blind people, since access to print information is essential to knowledge, and knowledge is essential to success. And so that's why we formed KNFB Reading Technology. Today, we are announcing exciting new products. And to begin this portion of the program, I am going to introduce the president of the National Federation of the Blind for a few remarks, and then he will have an introduction. Dr. Maurer.
I appreciate the warm welcome. I appreciate the generous words of the introduction. And I appreciate the fact that the blind of the nation come together to join in this press conference and to be excited about what we do today. The KNFB Reading Technology Company is a formalization of a partnership that has existed for a long time. Ray Kurzweil is, as you know, with us. And he has demonstrated a capacity for understanding and initiative which is among the most dynamic that has existed in our country ever. And I say that with a thorough knowledge of the history of this country. I have also had the joy of traveling the world, or at least a lot of it, and of meeting with people in the realm, or at least some of the realms, that we deal with on a daily basis from different parts of the world. And I think, as I have said to many, if you're a blind person, the best place to be is in the United States, because we're doing more than anybody else. And I think Ray Kurzweil is one of the reasons for this. Now, Ray Kurzweil has been described in many ways. He's been depicted in print as a thinking machine. Now, I know Ray Kurzweil, and I know that he has a lot of faith in machines, and I know that he's more than a machine. But he does a lot of thinking, and he does it as fast as some of the machines I've seen that do it. In the 1970s, we met him, and he had met a blind person who said that a reading machine would be a desirable piece of technology, and Ray thought, why not? This is possible, let's do this. And he came to see us and talked to us about it. And we talked about how it was going to be created. And we said it has to incorporate the experiences of blind people. How many times? How many inventors have come to see us? And they've said to us, now we've got the machine you wanted. And they get something out of their pocket and they think, is that what we wanted? So we said, we got to work with you on this, because if it's going to work, we have to be able to tell you our experience in the process. And he said, thinking about it a minute, you know, that is a good idea. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. First, we'll write the advertising campaign. Because if we know what we're trying to advertise, we'll know what to build. And he's put this into his companies. How many companies has he had? Well, many companies. He's put this into his companies. He said the ultimate user has to be a part of the process. And he's had this commitment with all of the people that he's worked with. He built a company that made an electronic keyboard that would do all sorts of things. The engineers had to know something about music. They didn't know anything about music, they couldn't work on it. Because the musicians have to use it. It's not going to be used by engineers. Well, some engineers. So we've worked together for more than a quarter of a century. And Ray Kurzweil's written this book which says, How to Live Long Enough to Live Forever. And so yesterday when he was with us, he said he was looking forward to the next 200 years. And some people thought he was kidding. But I knew better. He's not kidding. And I'm looking forward to the next 200 years. Maybe after 200 years, somebody, maybe Ray, I don't know, somebody may have thought up something that will change blindness so that there isn't any. That's possible, perhaps. But in the meantime, what we're talking about and what we're going to be announcing today is a new device that manipulates information, that takes information and changes it so that it's more useful than it was before. And you see, Ray Kurzweil built a reading machine in the mid-1970s. And it was a good machine. It's better now. And furthermore, it has more capacity then than it did then. And beyond that, as I have had the joy of saying, a year and a half ago we brought out a thing that you could carry around in your briefcase, no problem. And it would read. And I thought this is wonderful, but it's only the beginning. What we're doing is building a kind of system that will put a form of vision into your hand. Now, the beginning of it is done, and where it goes from here is limited only by our imagination. And one of the people who is putting his imagination into this and dreaming up things that nobody ever thought of before is the man I would like to introduce now, the president, the CEO of Canopy Reading Technology. Here is Ray Kurzweil.
Thanks so much for that warm welcome. including the enthusiastic horn. Love to have you at all our press conferences. Thank you, Dr. Maurer. This relationship, which Dr. Maurer alluded to, that I've had for 32 years now with the National Federation of the Blind, has been the most meaningful in my life. The enthusiasm and warmth I feel this morning is really the reason for that. So I'd like to give you a little bit of context about this announcement, and then Jim Gashel here, whom I've also known for 32 years, will actually show you the device. It's quite tiny. You might lose it in your pocket. They're getting smaller and smaller. I remember when we had to buy two airplane seats just to bring one reading machine to a conference. things have come a long way. So I'd like to go back and give you some context for what we're going to show you. I could go back to when I was five. maybe I will go back to when I was five. I decided I would be an inventor when I was 5 years old. Not really sure why that is. Maybe a few more years of analysis will reveal that. But I did have this feeling that if you put things together, I had an Erector set and I had various things I picked up in the garage, and if you put them together in just the right way, you could do anything. You could transform the world. You could change people's lives. So I couldn't articulate that when I was five, but I had this feeling of the potential transcendence from technology. And as I look at technology today, it's really only technology that has a scale to address the problems we struggle with today, whether it's energy or overcoming disabilities. But as Dr. Maurer articulated, we really, just not any technology will do, and technology for its own sake may make a cool demo on a table, but doesn't necessarily change people's lives unless you involve the people whose lives you're trying to change and make sure that it's a change for the better. So my field was pattern recognition that I studied at MIT. That's an art of teaching computers how to recognize patterns. And recognizing patterns is, in fact, the heart of human intelligence. And I'm involved now in thinking about how the human brain works. And we find that it's basically a pattern recognizer. And it still does a better job than machines, but machines are getting better and better, and we're closing that gap. And it can assist us in ways in which our own pattern recognition needs help. But so I came up with a solution to what was then a classical problem, which was teaching computers how to recognize printed letters in any type font. The state of the art back in 1973-74 was called template matching. It was basically the computer would match pixel for pixel representations of the letters in its memory. So OCR, optical character recognition, could recognize one type style. And so that wasn't really good for anything, even for entering computer databases. Basically, companies would retype material in order to scan them on these OCR devices. So I came up with a device that was intelligent, that could recognize that a capital A is formed of a triangular loop at the top and had a concave region at the south. These kinds of geometric features, that's how human intelligence recognizes letters. That's why we can recognize letters even if we've never seen them before. And it could recognize any type style, and it could recognize different sizes and touching letters, and could put letters together if they were broken on the page, or could deal with the degraded print. And it was basically a solution in search of a problem. So we began a period where we tried to find out, what would this be good for? We had some ideas. And we thought of the blind reading problem, but that was galvanized when I, as Dr. Maurer alluded to, happened to sit next to a blind gentleman on an airplane who said that blindness really didn't slow him down. Blindness was not a handicap if you had the right approaches and compensatory methods. You could do anything. That was quite an inspiring idea, and he was a symbol of that. He was traveling around the world representing his company, but he said there is one small handicap which is accessing ordinary printed material. And because Braille was very helpful in talking books, but a lot of things he wanted to read just didn't come out fast enough, if at all, in those forms, like his inner office memos, and there was the issue of privacy, having someone to read to him. Wouldn't it be great if a machine could do that? And so I told him about this development. We had software that could recognize print, and so really at that point, decided to devote this project to the blind reading problem. We needed two other technologies. There were no flatbed scanners back then, so we developed the first CCD flatbed scanner. That's now a ubiquitous technology, and we developed the first text-to-speech synthesis, which also didn't exist, and we put these three things together into a reading machine. But before we did that, we went around looking for support. We talked to different organizations in the blindness field, and they were all very friendly and wished us well, and we got a lot of good wishes. But then I happened to meet Jim Gashel in a small office near DuPont Circle in Washington, and that was quite different. He introduced me to his boss, Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, and that was a very inspiring meeting. And they really lost no time saying, let's work together on this. And we got tremendous support, and we agreed that we would really form a partnership. And not only did the National Federation of the Blind provide feedback and use early devices and really gave us invaluable insight as to what the device needs to do and how it should be organized and how the user controls should work, but we had seven blind engineers and scientists work with us on all the technical aspects of the problem, and also helped us with marketing and every other aspect of the project. And the project really never would have happened had it not been for that help. And as Dr. Maurer indicated, this has become part of my business philosophy. You really need the users who are intimately familiar with what a technology needs to accomplish at every level to create a technology that will really work. So that was 32 years ago. We introduced the Kurzweil reading machine in 1976. In fact, I remember the day. It's January 13th, 1976. And I remember that because this may be before some of your time, but if you remember, Walter Cronkite was the original successful anchor on the nightly news, signed off his evening program with a signature sign-off, and that's the way it was, and then he'd give the date in his sonorous voice. So that night, he used the reading machine to do that, and I ran into him actually not a few years ago at Martha's Vineyard, and he said that was the first time and only time he could remember that he actually didn't read that signature sign-off himself when he was on the program. So, so that was 1976. That was 31 years ago. And I've continued a close relationship with the National Federation of the Blind and with reading technology for the blind for these past three decades. And over the years, the device has gotten smaller and smaller. Now, as Dr. Maurer mentioned, I've gotten involved in technology forecasting. I realized that key to being successful as an inventor is timing. Most inventors and inventions fail, not because the inventor can't get the thing to work. I now get technology plans from different inventors, and I would say 90% of those development teams would do exactly what they say, but 90% of those projects would fail because the timing is wrong. Not all the enabling factors would be in place when they're needed. So I became an ardent student of technology trends and actually saw that certain aspects of information technology is very predictable. And I've written several books about this, use these technology forecasting methods to look far into the future, what the world would be like 10 or 20 years from now. But the primary application for this technology forecasting is to time the technology projects that I'm involved in. So I had another pivotal conversation with Dr. Maurer in 2002 because I had been in speeches to disability technology conferences, including at the National Federation of the Blind, talking about for many years, someday a blind person will be able to take a device out of their shirt pocket and and read all the printers that go through the day. Signs on the wall, bank ATM displays, handouts at meetings. You could take a menu back to your desk and read it, but you'd rather read it in the restaurant. So at that time, in 2002, reading chains were a good deal smaller than they were in 76. We no longer needed to buy an airplane seat to transport them. But it still was a device that was glued to your desk. You couldn't carry it around with you. And even though it had gotten smaller, that's a big limitation. Because as you go through the day, there's a lot of reading material on walls, on electronic displays, and handouts that you'd like to read. So Dr. Myra said, okay, you've been talking about this for years. When is this going to be feasible? And I said, well, according to our models of digital camera technology and pocket computer technology, it'll take about 6 years for the requisite hardware to be available, particularly if you want to have it in your shirt pocket. And he said, well, how long will it take to develop the software for this? And I said, it'll take about 6 years. So he said, okay, let's get started. And so we started in 2002. The idea in technology is not to build technology for the technology and hardware that you have in hand at the moment, but to really sort of catch that flying object in the air, and if it's going to take you years to develop something, develop it for the technology that will be available at that time. So we started developing a pocket-sized reading machine, really a reading machine that would fit in your shirt pocket back in 2002, even though it was impossible to build at that time. So we would simulate on a personal computer that did sit on your desk the kind of computation we felt would be feasible some years hence, and got that working. And the principal software challenge was not just to take OCR, optical character recognition, and text-to-speech and squeeze it into a pocket-sized device. We needed another layer of intelligent software, because as a person, sighted or blind, holds a device in the air, the images are going to come out tilted, rotated. There's three different degrees of freedom of tilt and rotation. Images will be curved. There'll be uneven illumination, and a scanner that sits on your desk, the scanner has its own illumination, so it's very even and controlled. In the real world, the illumination is very unpredictable. There are shadows. Images are curved and distorted in various ways. So if you just capture an image and pass it to optical character recognition software, it won't work very well. We tried that and discovered that pretty quickly. So we had to developed this new layer of software that would basically untangle the image, unrotate it, untilt it, even out the illumination, uncurve the lines, and so on. The original software that we developed back in the 70s for character recognition and for text-to-speech synthesis was still on the market, you know, something like version 22. And so we used contemporary versions of the technology we originally invented in the 70s, but we had to develop this new layer of software. So that's what we've put together. We have a device which Jim will show you, and we are announcing today the first cell phone that reads. Wow. Yay! Even though I predicted that this would be possible, it's amazing to me that what we can do with a device that weighs 4 ounces and really fits comfortably in a small shirt pocket. And so this device reads, if anything, better than earlier models. It's really very good at capturing print. If it sees print, it does a good job of reading it. It has a whole system to actually guide the user as to where the print is, the field of view report, and I'll let Jim talk about that a little bit. But it'll tell you if it can't see a certain edge and if you need to move to the left and so on. So it helps guide you to the print, but it does a good job of reading out loud anything that it sees. And it also provides other functions. It fits in this phone, but leaves all the other functions of the phone accessible, and there is voice output software that can make these features also accessible to blind users. So in addition to being a reading machine, it's also a phone. The camera is accessible. It's actually a high-end camera, 5 megapixel with autofocus and xenon flash and good quality lenses. It's also a GPS direction finder. It has high-speed data connection and does email, web browsing. It's an MP3 player. Radio, podcast, text messaging.
Oh my gosh!
Personal information manager. I don't know. Does it have the bread toaster? Well, actually, it's too small to toast your bread. It does run pretty cool, so it doesn't have that feature. But all of these other features are accessible, and it's also a reading machine, and does as good a job as the reading machines we've had before. So this, we actually estimated, was about 5,000 times smaller and lighter than the original reading machine that we announced 30 years ago. And we're going to be adding other features. We have working in prototype form in our office. In fact, I showed this at a recent National Federation of Blind Convention. Object recognition, we'll be adding that. Now, you can, and Jim does use it to recognize bottles and things like that. Well, Tylenol boxes. Or cereal boxes, low carbohydrate cereal. But you'll be able to actually recognize it as an object, so you don't have to try to read the print. The software actually reads, recognizes faces, recognizes indoor scenes, so you can train it on hallways and offices, and it'll tell you where you are inside, because GPS doesn't work inside, right. So this will be an indoor navigation system. So what I'm describing now, this object, scene, and face recognizer, is not in the product, but it is. We do have that technology working. We'll be adding it to the product because it's all software, and so these will be features we will provide in a future upgrade. We also provide language translation, so you can read a Spanish document, have it read out to English. So it'll read directly in that language or translate it and then read it. So these are some of the other features that will be in future versions. But I don't think you get too much smaller without losing it in your pocket.
We love you!
Before I introduce Jim and have him show you the device, I just want to say again what a rewarding relationship at many different levels this has been for over 30 years with the National Federation of the Blind in terms of warmth and enthusiasm, friendship, as well as a real collaboration on technology and all the different aspects of building these organizations. And so I figure we'll try... Dr. Meyer, for another 200 years, that's how it's going. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have a few conversations about that along the way.
We'll make it handsome all up and put him in there.
But this has been a creation of the National Federation of the Blind, working really hand in glove with my organization, Kurzweil Technologies. And I don't think we could have done it any other way. So on that note, I'd like to introduce Jim Gashel. I met him when he was a and I were young men. started recently in his position as head of the Washington office of the National Federation of the Blind. That started a personal friendship and the friendship with this organization. And he has been intimately involved with this project for the last 30 years and really has become quite an expert in all the subtle aspects of the user interface and all the other, the level of performance required. So when our engineers get enthusiastic and say, hey, it's done, Jim is really our arbiter of whether it's done or not. And he can be quite critical as well. It's encouraging. But it didn't work on this document. I had trouble with this user interface. And so recently, Jim has been very enthusiastic. So that's been very encouraging to engineers. So on that note, here's Jim Gesch.
Yay! Woo!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it is just a real joy for me to continue working with this technology. As Ray said, it spans over a relationship that goes beyond 30 years. So that's basically most of my working life. And to come to today, which is truly groundbreaking, is just phenomenal. Now, this technology does fit in your shirt pocket. And when Ray said that, I punched my shirt pocket to be sure that this technology was actually there. In my shirt pocket. It is. And I'm pulling it out now, and here it is. It is, I think 4 inches long, 2 inches wide, about an inch thick, 4 ounces. And this is a truly, really sweet cell phone. You know, Ray's absolutely right. You can do all these other functions. You can make phone calls on it. Some cell phones you have trouble making phone calls. This one you can make phone calls on. And while you're using it as a reading machine, which it works as a very good reading machine, as you'll see, you can also receive a phone call, talk to the person, end your phone call, and go right back to the reading machine. And all seamlessly. It you don't have to reboot it or stop it or push a bunch of buttons. It just works seamlessly. Mm. So in case you don't believe that this is a cell phone, I left mine turned off, and I'm now turning it on. Cell phones have a distinctive boot-up tone, so this one should do it here. If it is going to come up, you'll hear it in a moment.
Hopefully.
Now,
there you go.
There is...
Singular 18.
There you go.
We'll try that later. Okay, now what we're going to do, it does say I have a new voice message, but okay.
No network coverage.
No network coverage. Good deal. All right. So now you can see. Now, by the way, here is the front screen of my phone. So you heard contacts.
Access.
That's the GPS that Ray was referring to, and it is really cool. That's not part of our product. We'll talk about that, but it is part of the phone, and it's wonderful.
Music player 306.
Music player.
Clock 406.
Clock.
Profiles 506.
Profiles.
Bluetooth 606.
Bluetooth. Okay, now that's just what I have on the front panel of the phone. This has a full menu of lots of other applications on the phone that Ray mentioned, but here is the best one of all.
Bluetooth 606.
Hello, I'm the Cadner Theater Mobile.
Woo!
one options, button two exit.
Okay, so now we have the KNFB Reader Mobile. And I just happen to have a document here. This whole idea of this reader is to read documents. I have it on the podium in front of me, and I am holding the reader above the podium. I'm going to use the field of view report to make sure I'm seeing this document, so you'll hear the alignment information that Ray referred to.
Field of view report. Flash will activate.
There's a picture.
Please maintain position. Obtain alignment. All four edges are visible. 40% filled, rotated 1 degree clockwise.
Oh, that's not a bad picture for a blind person, but I'm going to get it.
Field of view report. Flash will activate. Please maintain position. Obtain alignment. All four edges are visible. 59% filled, rotated 4 degrees counterclockwise.
Let's take the picture.
What?
Taking picture.
Picture is snapped, now I put the reader down.
Reprocessing picture and books, articles and labels format. Expanding the limits, the uncertainty of exploration. Proceeding to a specific location is a journey. Progressing to an unidentified destination.
Yay! Woo!
That's
important. That
is great. But exploration also demands intuition, faith, a tolerance for uncertainty, the willingness to embrace change, and the recognition that the object being sought cannot always be defined with precision, and will sometimes lead to unpredictable consequences. When the exploration is pursued with passion and faith, the process not only produces knowledge, but also stimulates the development of the explorers as well. Is exploration a matter of discovery, or is it the process of creation? T.S. Eliot said, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started, and know the place for the first time. To accept without criticism the revealed knowledge enunciated by our predecessors is to be." End of text.
This document is the first page of a speech that Dr. Mao recognized.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And I think most of the rest of us do who were there to hear that terrific speech that he delivered on July 5, 2007 at the National Federation of the Blind Convention in Atlanta. Okay, now, not only did that read this text verbally, which is what you heard, and incidentally, there will be more voices in the future. This happens to be a voice that a lot of people in this room like, but it may not be the voice that a lot of people who aren't accustomed to this technology prefer. And there will be other voices in other languages as we go on. But not only did this read the text verbally, but it also displayed it on the screen. And this is a really nice screen. And it displayed it in large, large print. Very large print. Larger print than you would see in a school book. And the print is displayed with a moving yellow highlighter. So each word that is being spoken is being displayed on the screen. And the letters that have been read, or the words that have been read, appear in blue, and the words that are about to be read appear in black. So people who are visually impaired, people who have learning issues and need a visual assistant for reading, will find this to be a really nice product. And if you just need some large print, this is a really nice product. Well, okay, that's Dr. Maurer's speech. I appear here today with a couple of really learned gentlemen. And the next one comes, I'm going to read a page out of a book. Ray Kurzweil writes books. You may have noticed. Actually, he had this one about how to live long enough to live forever, and I told him, Ray, I'm not sure I don't really want to live forever. Working with Ray and with this technology, it kind of motivates me to try to live forever. It's great, great, great fun, and I want to keep doing this forever. All right, so we have a book, and the book is now poised in position, and the reader is poised in position. Once again, I'm going to do the field of view report.
Ready.
Now, by the way, the reader is trying to come up so you can take the picture. You don't have to set a lot of things to get it going. So it said it was ready. I'm going to do the field of view report.
Field of view report. Flash will activate. Please maintain position. Obtain alignment. Bottom, top, and right edges are visible. 70% filled. Rotated 1 degree.
I'll take that picture. It's a book, so it won't see the left side. There we go.
Preprocessing picture and books, articles and labels format. Camera is 1 degree counterclockwise relative to the page. You get water for walking, but at this, so it is. When? GMR 289. The Yale winter is long since over. We are well into the spring of Barrowat. Most of the examples above were research projects just 10 to 15 years. The AI systems in the world suddenly stopped functioning. Our economic infrastructure would grind to a halt. Your bank would cease doing business. Most transportation would be crippled. Most communications would. This was not the case a decade ago. Of course, our AI systems are not smart enough yet to organize such a conspirac. Strong act. If you understand something in only one way, then you don't really understand it at all. This is because, if something goes wrong, you get stuck with a thought that just sits in your mind with nowhere to go. The secret of what anything means to us depends on how we've connected it to all the other things we know. This is why, when someone learns by rote, we say that they don't really understand. However, if you have several different representations, then, when one approach fails, you can try another. Of course, making too many indiscriminate connections will turn the mind to mush. But well-connected representations let you turn ideas around in your mind, to envision things from many perspectives until you find one that works for you. And that's what we mean by thinking. Marvin Moonsky 21 advancing computer performances like water slowly flooding the landscape. A half century ago it began to drown the lowlands, driving out human calculators and record clerks, but leaving most of us dry. Now the flood has reached the foothills, and our outposts there are contemplating retreat.
Okay, so there you go.
All right.
Now try this one.
Speaking canceled. Taking picture. Detecting orientation, processing U.S. currency image. Please wait. $20.
All right.
Now listen to this one.
$20. The image is rotated right. The bill is back side up.
Oh, wow. Next matter, here's your 20. okay. And you know, you can actually do a lot with this. The thing I do most with it is, and you'll love this. This actually ought to sell a lot of product. if you look at my phone, the first picture every morning. You know how those bags are in the hotel where you want to make the coffee?
Yeah.
How many of you know the caffeinated from the decaf?
No.
Yeah. I know it every single morning. Yeah. All you have to do is snap a picture of the bag, and it tells you.
All right.
Now, by the way, they are a little deceptive. They usually say 100% pure ground coffee, and then underneath of it, it may say 99.7% caffeine free. Well, I'm not interested in that bag. So, you can do this. You can do this. It really does work, and it works great. Well, this is truly a groundbreaking product, and it does fit in your shirt pocket, and you can carry it around, and it does lots of things. And I just think that reading technology for blind people is about to take off in a way that it never has before. Never has before. Now, there have been several news stories on this already. The Associated Press put out a story last night. It's been carried in a number of newspapers from throughout the country. There was at least one television broadcast that was reported here in the Washington, D.C. area this morning. There will probably be other stories, but you all have a mission. One way to make this product known, because truly we want people to know of this technology and to be able to use it. One way to make this product known is for all of you. You all have local media back home. Some of them have Washington, D.C. Stringers who might be interested in seeing this technology to report on it. All of you have a mission. You all have telephones. Many of you have email. You can go out, go forth from this place at this time and help to spread the word, because our fellow Americans need to know that this product is now available to them. So let's go out and spread the word. And as long as we're here this week, we have an important mission to perform on that. And by the way, those from the media who are here, there are press kits on the front table, and you can get those. And let me just say that if you realize that as we conclude this session, a lot of you are going to be wanting to come up here and get your hands on this thing, because there are a couple of them up here. But we are having sessions to learn more about the technology beginning at 1 p.m. this afternoon in the Discovery Room. And you can come. It's in the agenda for the NFB Washington Seminar. So look that up. It's up here in the Discovery Room. And I will be there, and we'll be conducting those sessions. And there you can get your hands on it. You can now. We're going to be involved in discussions with people from the media and so on and so forth. So let's hold your questions and your concerns and your desire to get this little sweet cell phone into your hand and come to the Discovery Room and see it and feel it and learn about it. And people do want to know about the cost, and we'll be happy to tell you about the cost. This cell phone, the cell phone itself, which is a phone that you need, is a Nokia N82 cell phone. It just came out very, very recently. And they are generally available for around $600. Cell phones come down in price, they all do, and so over time you'll probably see the cost of the cell phone itself go down, but that shouldn't prompt anybody to wait. It's not going to fall dramatically. And so
it just came down to $500.
Okay, good. All right, so you get the cell phone for $500 now. You better grab them up. And in addition to that, the software sells for $1,595. So you can totally be in business with a really high-class reading machine for just a little over $2,000. Never before has that been possible.
All right.
Folks, I think what we'll do is, at this point, I know there are a lot of questions, and we're not going to have time to be able to answer all those questions right now, but if you would please make sure that if you're interested in knowing more about this and how to buy it, and please come to the Discovery Room this afternoon at 1 p.m. Okay, good. Ray says he's definitely available to take some questions, and we can, but I think we probably should limit it to 5-10 minutes or so, and Ray's here, Dr. Maurer's here, and I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's follow the usual practice. If you do have questions, you should say your name, and you may have questions of Ray or Dr. Maurer. If there's something I can answer, I'll be happy to, but you should begin by saying your name.
Dwight Sayer. What operating system is it, Jim? Symbian 6?
It's a Symbian series cell phone, and it will operate then with... You don't need to activate a cell phone plan to use the reader. It works independently of everything else, but if you do want to use it as a cell phone, you can use it with T-Mobile or AT&T, which was Singular.
Michael Barber. Believe this will be available on other, like on the Windows mobile operating system?
I can answer that.
Right, you should. Right.
Like our earlier reading machines, we provided a list. It'll work on the following platforms. So right now the list has one cell phone on it, the Nokia N82. But over time, there'll be additional platforms. Certainly there'll be additional Symbian platforms, and we'll ultimately port it to other operating systems like Windows Mobile. So that list of available platforms will grow, and the platforms will come down in cost very quickly. Even this one, probably with a phone plan, will be less expensive before long.
Kevin Morley.
Thank you. Distributors, how does one buy the software package now?
Well, this is a very good question, and our website. Everybody has a website. We have a website. The website is www.knfbreader.com, and we have a how-to-purchase page. There are 37 dealers spread throughout the United States, and please go to the how-to-purchase page to find the dealer that is available for your state. We expect, in fact, I think we more than expect, we will begin to ship the product on February 15.
Woo!
And
yeah!
So it's not one of these products that's announced and then you can get it 3 or 4 months later. This is available now.
Dwight Sayer.
Dwight, let's see if we've got somebody else. Any other
questions?
Lady in the back.
Minnie Davidson.
Minnie, go ahead.
It
does all those things. The device itself, the Nokia N82, has all of the features that the Nokia N82 has in it. It has podcasting, it has the radio, it has GPS, it has you can make telephone calls on it. You can store your contacts, so it has all your personal information manager features in it. That's available as part of this device. And then, in addition to that, it has the reader, and the reader does the things that I've demonstrated. It reads books, it reads articles, it reads labels, it reads bills and memos, it reads currency, it saves documents, it retrieves documents, it gives you, you have a viewfinder mode as well as the field of view report. You can navigate through the text. It's a full-fledged reader.
Right, but all of the telephone things that we talked about, all of that is accessible, is that correct?
You will need to buy, if you want to use all of the telephone features, you will need to buy screen reader software, and there are two products available for that purpose that operate on this phone, and each of them costs right at $300. You do not need to use one of those products to use the reader.
Milt Taylor. Does it also include voice recording? Recording of your head?
The phone does. The reader software does not.
Jeff Scott.
Deborah Kendrick.
Without mobile speak or talks or whatever runs on it, are you able to do any of those things? Can you read your contacts, for example?
No. You, if you want to use the phone features and have them fully accessible, that is just like it is right now with any phone that you buy. If you want any of those to be audio accessible, you need to buy the screen reader software for the phone, and there are two products, and each of them costs right at
$300. And have you done that?
I do that. Oh, the reader's compatible. The reader software works independently of the other phone features, and you simply bring the reader up or cancel out of the reader. You do not need to have screen reader software to use the reader.
Joe Scholar.
Joe. What is your name?
Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Is there a payment plan available when buying?
Not currently. And by the way, the NFB does have a technology loan fund. And Dr. Meyer, you may want to speak to that.
Jesse Hartle.
Hold on.
Andy
Collins. There's a microphone right there.
The National Federation of Blind has a low interest loan program. It charges 3% interest. Curtis Chong serves as the chairperson for it. If you want a 3% loan, ask him.
There you go. Jesse Hartle, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, with the phone, if you have the accessible software for the phone and you can save the picture that the reader has taken, sometimes at meetings and documents are handed out. If you have the accessible software for the phone, can you then email the document you just took the picture of?
Not in the first release, but I am. I think that'll come. That capability is there, and I think you're going to see that happen.
Chancey
Fleet.
Hi. So AT&T has a subsidy program where if you get a new contract, your mobile speak software costs $80, and they have a short list of phones that are compatible with that program. Right now, this phone is not on it. Are you talking to them?
This phone may not be on that list, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't work with that software.
It doesn't work with the discount program.
The answer about talking to them is yes, we are, but with both of the access vendors. But we have not talked to AT&T about their discount program. We will.
Sandy Cush?
Sandy.
Yes. There'll be training seminars available at all by anyone?
Yes, there will, and our dealers will be designed to train you, but certainly at sessions of the National Federation of the Blind, there will be training sessions available, and we'll treat this as we have other reading products. People who have these devices love to show them off and to show how they work, and so I think, and of course agencies for the blind will be obtaining these devices and providing training on them. There should be training widely available with this.
JJ Metal?
Jeff Thompson.
JJ.
Is there going to be an upgrade path available for owners of the current KNFB reader?
Ray, you want to speak to that?
Good question, Jim.
Yes, there is. We haven't worked out the exact details. Forrest Dobbs, our Vice President of Sales, is here. You can speak to him. But we are going to have a program where people can upgrade from the older reader to this one at a low additional cost, really to handle handling and so on. So we are going to make that available. I don't have the details of the price, but it's going to be pretty modest.
Awesome.
Dr. Mao.
I have used, I believe, every one of the reading machines that Ray has had anything to do with ever. And the one that came out at our convention a year and a half ago had lots of capacity, and I like it. This one is vastly easier to use.
Woo-hoo.
Now, I say vastly, and that may be an overstatement slightly, but it took me about 15 minutes to get so that I might not know everything there is to do with it, but I know everything that I wanted to know then, and this machine is a snap to use. You can get training on it, and you might need some training on it. You certainly need to know which buttons are where and so forth, but it won't take long at all.
And Dr. Maurer is actually too modest. He picked up the reader last week, snapped a picture, and it read the document flawlessly top to bottom first time. It is quite easy to use, and the number of keystrokes to get to things have been diminished over previous reading devices. It is ready to take a picture when you bring it up. I wrote the user guide. I don't think you're going to need too much training. You should read the user guide.
Right.
If I can write it, you can read it. Ray has a comment.
One important point to make is that this device is very tactile. The buttons are very easy to feel, unlike a lot of other cell phones.
Right.
Some of you may remember my wife, Betsy Zabrowski. Betsy used to rail at cell phones.
She was
livid about cell phones. Any of you who knew her, you would hear this from Betsy.
Right.
She didn't quite have an opportunity to see this cell phone. That's how new it is. But she would really like this cell phone. It is the most tactile cell phone I have ever seen.
Wow.
Excellent.
I think we'll take...
Hold on.
David Evans, and that'll be it.
Will you include any kind of a how-to or simplified... manual or anything in the memory software?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it has that. Let me, we might as well show you that. I'm glad you mentioned that, David.
Press any key or help on that key.
Okay, so.
Press the help key again.
All right, now we're in the help mode. So when I press the keypad 2 on the phone,
File Explorer.
It's just going to tell us what these keys do. When I press keypad 3,
Start or stop viewfinder.
When I press keypad 4,
reprocess the image.
From what we call books, articles, and labels to bills and memos. 5,
File Explorer.
6,
create new document.
Okay. Let me do 5 again.
Save files.
5 is save files. 6 is create a new document. If you have a multi-page document and you want to start a new document, here's 7.
Audio settings. Speed and volume.
Okay, that's to set your speed and volume. Here's 8.
Text navigation settings.
And you can do line, sentence, paragraph, page, document, all the different character and word, all the different choices. Oh my goodness, here's a phone call. Hold on. Hello.
Mr. Daschle.
Yes. That sounds like Dave Wright.
Yes, it does.
Dave, you are currently addressing an audience of a substantial number of blind people and members of the media. And how are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. I actually called to find out how the conference went.
Well, the conference went just fine. And how's your reader, Dave?
Hey, it's working tremendously, tremendously well.
If you had to put it in one word, what would it be?
Oh. Stupendous.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now we're back to the reader. Let me see here. All right, button 9 on the keypad.
Window. Button 1.
Screen settings.
Button 2. Edit.
All right, screen settings is 9. Here is 0.
Recognize U.S. currency.
Okay, and here's pound.
Function key for settings. Press function 9. For currency orientation, press function 0.
Okay, here's the button to the left of the arrows. I'll get the star in a minute. That's your options key, and that would bring up your settings and some other things. Here's your up arrow.
Obtain field of view report.
Here's your down arrow.
Take a new picture.
Here's your left arrow.
Move backwards.
Okay, right arrow.
Move forward.
All right, here's one other thing about... I'll do star, and that star will show you what it does.
Cancel.
And...
Speak and cancel.
And that took us back to the ready screen. Now, one other thing, Dave, in response to your question about documentation... So in this case, I short pressed keypad 1 on the phone. Now I'm going to long press it.
Documentation Explorer. Licensing Agreement .xmt file 1 of 2. Mobile Reader User Guide .xmt file 2 of 2.
Okay, that's your full user guide. So you can read the all of the documentation about how to use the reader is right on the reader. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Your job is to go out and spread the word so people all over this nation know about this product. Does anybody want to say, Celia or John, do you want to say anything about who they should contact? You should tell. So if you have something to take notes with, you might want to do that. John Perret is the Executive Director for Strategic Initiatives at the National Federation of Blind, and he can give you information about who the media that you're going to go out and rally up here should be in touch with. Here's John Perret. Thank you very much.
Yay!
Yeah! All right, as you've heard, we've had a lot of media, but we want to get a lot more. The Associated Press put out an article this morning. It's been in a lot of papers. It's been on the Internet. We have our own press release. We have a media advisory. So we have a lot of information that you could help us get the word out. It's very important to realize the media wants to do a story about you, and we want to do a story about you and this reader. And we can do that. They like to localize the story, that's with you, but then have a national aspect, and that's with the entire National Federation of the Blind and with KNFB Reading Technology. If you were to see me, my cell phone number is 410-913-3912. Or any of the PR team of the NFB or with KNFB, myself, Chris Danielson, Jessica Free, Ty Tomasi, and then also Celia Black and several others with KNFB. We're going to be here all day. We can fill you in a lot of details. We'll try to attend the two briefings so you can help find this that Jim alluded to that's going to be this afternoon in the discovery room. And let's really get started on this today. Thank you.